Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. Hello, whole world. And you know, Ilona Europa and Accent On every Monday from 6 till 7, although CBS is coming for 5 minutes of news, then we will be respecting that, and then we'll finish our show 5 minutes before, if I can do that. Because today is like one of the hottest shows ever. I feel like in home. I will be having, and I'm having, two beautiful, very strong ladies. One is calling in to the studio from New York. One is next to me, and I have a gentleman. Gentlemen, we all have cool accents. Ilona Europa has Polish accents. I cannot get rid of this one, and I will keep it forever, probably. And I have a beautiful Beata next to me, Beata Pozniak. Hi, Beatko.
Hello, Ilona.
And Beata. Beata is an actor, pretty known actor in America also. They call you an American actor. Even when you are coming from Poland and you moved to America around 1980s?
Something around about that, yes.
Yes, yeah. But also, Beata, your English is pretty good. And I'm almost jealous that you can speak so well this language. Because even when you are known to be an actor in the movies in America that speaks with the cool accents, sometimes many of them, you still, your English skills are pretty high. And you were studying when you were younger, yes, in England, this language?
Well, you know, in school we had English, Russian. We grew up with different languages.
Not like we knew them.
No, but in Poland, you were taught British English.
Okay.
So even when you come here to the United States, it was different. You know, you don't say, I can't say it. You say, I can't say
it. I love
it,
you. So. I can't. That's so English. So proper English. Welcome back, because yes. We have, you are my main guest for today. And all of our guests who will be today, they will be back. But like I said, we have once a week show. And somehow, somewhere, I knew that that's the coolest show ever. We have surprise guests. And in a way, I will say I a little bit failed my guest, because I supposed to promote everything. And a lot of things is happening. I was sure that I did this. Duh, I didn't. But anyway, we connected 2 days ago. And I still was questioning, Frank, if you are coming. But you are a gentleman and you did everything right. Although you didn't send me any links that I could post. And we'll do it right after show. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Ilona.
Look at the accent, everybody. Oh, my gosh. Is this a friend?
I guess it is.
Okay, Frank, what is your name? I don't want to mess up, because I will anyway.
My name is Frank Lavoisier.
Lavoisier?
Lavoisier.
Lavoisier. Okay, I know better. You'll do perfectly,
no,
probably.
I don't want to try.
You think that French is not your strength?
You should. Go ahead.
Okay, try it. Again,
only
Frank.
He tries mine.
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, yours is, I think it's not so bad. Frank, closer to the microphone. Again, gently, we'll teach everybody. Your name is very important to know, because you can hypnotize everybody, mostly. And in a way, that's how I was so, so excited to meet you all, to learn a little bit about you from the Facebook, because your hypnotic talent is called creative. If this is English. And I want to know a little bit more. Why did you call your business this way? Because Ilona has a business, Ilona Europa Creative. I know I'm creative. Oh, my gosh. I wake up every morning not knowing what I'm today. Today I'm this, that. I create, and whoa, spin. My head is spinning. But I know I'm very creative human being. Batka You are like the most creative next to me or above to me, and we'll find out more. But Frank, your business is unusual business.
It is unusual, yes.
Although LA loves this type of business because it's so like you can go into and deeper and find out things that nobody wants to say. And we see movies about the power of hypnotherapy and hypnotists.
You saw movies, yeah, but it's not reality.
Thank you for telling that. Oh my gosh, really? Beatka, do we believe you? Because obviously you are director, you are actor. Do you think what we see on TV right now, the reality show, this is not what is real? Beata?
I don't think so.
You don't have opinion about housewives and all of these things? Is this real? Nah, everything is a little bit lying. Then we'll come back, Frank, because I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in France. And I'm so happy you are here because you got your opinion. I would like, in a short way, to find out how did you move to LA. And I will be having you back because I want to focus on what I think I have about question about. Hypnotherapy, very unusual business. The trust of the patient. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm coming to you believing that you really can get out of me what I don't even know I have a problem with. Me. And I have a lot of problems. Okay.
That's going to be a long session.
That will be session and session.
Very long,
we'll
yes.
be pitching. We'll be pitching. No. People know me. On this, on accent, on I speak. When I have a problem, my listeners know. Yes. Uh-oh. What's that? Beatka. Beata Pozniak. We are coming back to you. I am pretty... I think you're a fan right now, admiring fan. When I was looking into your bio, into links that you are giving me, into achievements that you, in a way, they are still coming. It's lots of them. You moved to America again in the 1980s?
Yes, well, I was born in Gdańsk. Some people know it as home of solidarity.
Yes.
I went to school. And I graduated from the film school in Lodz. And during those times, that was before the Berlin Wall came down, so we did not know what will be tomorrow, yeah. so to speak. And that is when I left.
But you left not only because of political reason or because you were looking deeply into changing the countries. I know that you came to America with Andrzej Wajda. With his movie?
Well, one of the things is...
Big Polish director.
Sure. Well, in those days, I know it's probably... Sometimes when I talk about it, it's very hard to understand, but actors were allowed to make films, but no one would see them, and they would be put on shelves.
Yeah.
So my last film in Poland was Hamlet we wsi Głucha Dolna, so kind of translated... Hamlet in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by Hamlet written by Shakespeare, but put in communist times.
Okay.
So we got a green light from the Polish TV and the government to shoot this film, but nobody would see it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it many, many years later after Lech Walesa became president of Poland after all those changes. So this is the kind of condition...
Yeah, art was developing.
Developing.
In this time,
and so speaking of censorship, I will never forget in one of the plays that I was in, Václav, written by Mrożek, before the premiere, a censor, she would come in, sit in the audience... without the audience, but she would sit in the audience and say, okay, you can say that, but you cannot say that. Or then she would say to me, well, your father in this play, he cannot have a beard. And I said, well, why not? Huh. And she said, do not laugh, Miss Pozniak. Do you think I am silly? Hmm. He reminds me too much of Karl Marx.
Oh, boy.
So this was a kind of, it's surreal times.
No,
it's hard
know.
To explain. So when you come here, you just think about, oh, my gosh, freedom of expression,
yeah.
right? You just don't care. You just want to, you know, start from zero, from scratch. It does not matter how well you did in your own country.
You think you could, something you know, else I was, out there.
Well, you know, it is hard because you were, you know, on covers of magazines. You were, you know, nobody. You reached a certain status in your own country, but you're here, you're nobody. I mean, you just start with from scratch, basically. Yeah. And that is when I found out that Oliver Stone is casting a film.
We are repeating the name. We are talking Oliver Stone is casting for the movie.
Well, I did not have an agent. I just had dreams. I just had dreams, big dreams, and that's all. And I decided to write a letter to the production office, and I heard that he's casting this film, but everybody just said, you know, come on, who are you? You are who? We cannot even pronounce your name. And every cameo, I was told, is going to be cast by a star, the big name. We're talking about JFK, so cameos like Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau, Donald Sutherland, Sissy Spacek, Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, you have huge stars. So every cameo, even for one scene, they're casting big names. And everybody was fighting to get into the movie. But I, you know, I just thought, okay, well, I have to start from somewhere. And I sent a picture of me and then the Marina Oswald. And that was the part that I was up for, that I had just dreams, let's put it this way. But I wanted it so badly. I went through the 26 volumes of Warren Commission. I read every single Time, Newsweek magazine, anything I could find on Marina Oswald. I knew I had no chance, but I just wanted to come in, get in the door, anything. I wanted to understand the process. I was hungry, basically. I wanted to know how, you know, this is the dream. This is the capital of filmmaking in the world. And, you know, I was just a girl, you know, in Poland, just with big dreams, nothing else. So I came here and I got a chance to audition in front of, you know, the biggest casting director. And that was for me already, that was it. That was just for me, like I made it, you know, just to, you know, in front of a casting.
That they put time.
And yes. And then, you know, when the casting director, you know, because there was no script, there was no sides. Usually actors, when they come in to audition, you get, you know, a script or a scene to prepare. Here, no script, no scene. You come in and you improvise. So casting director would tell me, so Marina, when did you meet Lee? I had to know everything about my character. I had to know where they met at a dance. I had to know how she was dressed, and she loved Brigitte Bardot, and her hair was up. She loved being dressed in red, and all those details I found in the books that I read. So they saw I was so well prepared. There was just this, I don't know, passion.
And
they said, okay, well, now imagine that you are, you know, with the FBI. So, and they changed their tone of voice. So how did you meet him? Where is he? Come on, tell us. So I kind of was just falling apart, and I know she was a chain smoker, so I just pull out a cigarette, and I said, okay, Alka, no home, you know, because she was from Russia, so I had to do a Russian accent, speaking of accents.
Yes!
And that's what made it. They just started to listen. They knew that she would not call him Lee, only at home she would be Alka, Alik, and this would just... would, you know, I would just, because of my research, and I would just come in and just, you know, I just felt good that I
you're just
in,
very well, you know, prepared. And you know, it's like inner power. Yes. You put so much belief that maybe the chance is there for you.
Maybe
that you turn, maybe you turn the, I don't know, Mr.
You know,
Frank will tell us why, the intuition or something.
But that's very interesting,
you for that.
Because a month later, nothing. 2 months later, I get called in again to do the same thing in front of Oliver Stone.
Wow.
And that's how it happened. 4 months later, I find out that I have zero chance, but I am still considered. 5 months later, oh, I found out I got the part.
And that was a big part.
Oh,
my gosh.
That was my debut.
Obviously, I saw the movie, but I came back. You know, I was watching the links and your interviews on a lot of American TV was trying to present you beautifully because that was an amazing movie and so well awarded. You are one of the... Oh, yeah, I couldn't take eyes of you. And the drama that you created around this woman, I was just petrifying, and I felt for her. That was a really dramatic role. And just,
it's a dramatic role. It was kind of interesting because in a way one escaped from politics, and it's kind of ironic that my first film in this country would be such a political film.
And you know, because like I say, I really have something that I want to play for people, because the accent is something that we are here for. We are talking accent on, is we are putting accent on people who are in America, who are making their lives in very cool way. Accent is something that we think is a plus for us. And accent is something that separates us from rest of the people. And in a way, people love us more because they want to know more about who these people are. We are well-educated. We are pretty strong people. And ladies, I can say, about three of us that we are here on Accent, we are very, very cool people. Frank mentioned something very unusual too, how he felt about becoming an American, and we'll talk a little bit about this later. But we got our vision, and the vision is still in progression. We have a journey. We are doing life our way. Not easy. It's just not easy way. Nobody maybe understand how hard it is to be in America and treat yourself equally in your own head, and not bring this thought, maybe I am little, not what people will perceive as. I have big, I am really arrogant in this way. I really think very well about myself, about my abilities, but look at my English, it's just freaking funny. And people, I hope, listen, but I just stopped thinking about this anymore.
But it's unique.
That's a good word to add and feel, hey, amazing. But you know what? I'm so angry sometimes I cannot find a word. And because I know I'm smart in my own language, I'm very, very well educated. And he's like, help, help, help. And he's not there. But I need to overcome this and just move on and do what really is the bigger picture, because I know who I am in a way. Please, we'll be having you back. We know you had this amazing role. And then life gave you opportunity to do so many things. But one of them, I don't know, voiceover, how you call this, the beautiful period in your life that you used 70-something accents when you were reading beautiful audiobooks.
Well, this is something new. I never actually considered. One day I get an email and I thought, it's a joke. It's probably a joke. Somebody just played a prank or something.
Who was the somebody?
Well, I got an email from Random House. Which is like the largest publisher in the world. And it's from the legal department. I said, wow, yes, okay. You know, it's one of those spam emails probably. And then I read, oh, dear Ms. Pozniak, we have an offer for you. We would love you to read and narrate one of our best-selling books. And I'm ha-ha.
Oh,
and then I read, you know, just for fun. And it says, well, it's Catherine, the history of Catherine the Great. And this is our offer. Call us. And there was a name and legal department. And it was from the legal department. I said, wow, okay, this actually looks real. So I do call. And it was from the lawyer and said, yeah, we'd love to offer you. It's a 19-hour audiobook. Are you available? Without an audition, without anything. I said, my gosh, you know, to do an audiobook in English language, you know, you have to be a huge, recognizable name. I mean, you know, Nicole Kidman, yeah. Reese Witherspoon. I mean, all these amazing, you know, huge award-winning actors that have names. People buy audiobooks because of their
sound
beautiful
of their voice, yes.
And here, Beata Pozniak. Wait a minute, you know. I thought, and I could not believe it.
But this book is very unusual,
yes,
because it includes so many.
It's the history of Catherine the Great, and it's her journey from. It's really the story of how a shy German princess named Sophie became the powerful Catherine the Great, the most powerful and feared woman of the time. And when I broke down the script, I counted 78 characters, you see, because
crazy.
You have to prepare for the audiobook in a little bit different way than for a film. you have to do the work at home by yourself. You are not directed by anybody. You have to come into the studio prepared with all your characters. And characters have to be different. You have an elder character, small, you know, or for example, Sophie, when she came as a shy young girl from, you know, Prussia in those days. And then when she became the strong, powerful, yes. So then I am from a, you know, Russian to Italian architect to a Russian chancellor to many people in the palace that are from Russia. I had to really find different
personality.
Accents.
Yes, yes, the please, personality 78
exactly.
times.
78.
Can we play sound from this book, sound bite from this book and your reading?
It's okay. Okay. Sure. The pain is sharp. Piercing, a burning dagger's thrust inside her skull, somewhere behind the right eye. It hits just as she lifts her quill out of an inkwell. Her hand freezes. The quill dropped stains the letter she was just about to sign. The mantel clock begins to chime. She recalls being frightened as a child to see the hands of a clock turned back, believing time itself might go back. And she would be forced to live again through everything she had already lived through, depriving her of the adventure of the future. The pain doesn't stop or diminish. It is already 9 o'clock, and she is still behind with the reading she must finish before her secretary arrives. She considers calling Zhotov, her valet, but dismisses the thought quickly. The headache will go away by itself. But once her old servant begins to fuss, she won't be able to send him away. Pani, her Italian greyhound, sniffs her mistress's hand with fierce concentration, licking the skin of her palm. The dog is slender and fine-boned, a direct descendant of beloved Zemira, who lies buried in the Tsarskoye Selo gardens.
Wow, it's so nice to have you next to me. And your voice sounds a little bit different, but then you are this powerful person with this gorgeous, unusual...
this is the second book. This one is called Empress of the Night.
Okay.
The first one was The Winter Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is already the second one because this is also the second one about the Catherine the Great and also a 19-hour audiobook. And it was interesting to prepare. I have an aunt in England, and I remember just before I was recording this book, I was talking to her, and I was in London, and she said, well, why don't you go just to the theater and you know, relax, put your mind, you know, on something else. And you know, I was just kind of felt confused and tired and looking at all this a little bit. I was overwhelmed, and then she said to me, just go to the theater. And I said, well, which way? And she said, and my aunt, who was born and raised in England, she said, oh, my love, do you see that lorry over there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Would you like to have a biro? That would help you. And I'm thinking, that's it. I just know. That's it. You know, this, you know, sometimes this little thing, you know, came to, you know. And then another thing, so sometimes this little breakthroughs happen when you're looking for your character. And then I had another breakthrough in finding Betsujev, another character. I remember I had this teacher from Russia, and he would teach us acting, and he would just say, he would tell me, you know, he would be very hard, and he would say, your body needs to be straight. Straight, look up. You have to think that you swallow a stick. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
And I thought, that's him.
That's it.
That's him. So beautiful. This is like when you have
but the coolest things ever, there are people who came to your life and now you put them into your beautiful characters and they exist, they live forever, and you have anecdotes about them. And I need to listen to, I want to know of more of them next time. We have another... little snip of voice, I don't know how to say, but stone. And this is something very special for Polish people, and not only, because we know that Wisława Szymborska, she received big Nobel Award. Then could you tell us a little bit and lead us, because I want to play a little MP3 for you, with you.
The stone?
Or yes,
the
stone. Stone. Yeah. What you will say? How? Yes.
Well, it was really nice because the Hammer Museum, it was their idea. I got a call from them asking if I would do and prepare something about Wiesława Szymborska. And they gave me 6 months to prepare something about her, some performance. So I did it in English, but I selected a couple of poems in Polish so people can hear the melody and the rhythm of the sentence in Polish. And it was really amazing when it came, when I think about the turnout and the interest, and we did not expect that. So what was nice, I think, you know, one of the poems that I really, that people connected was Conversation with a Stone. And, I mean, there's many poems, but especially that one, for some reason, people connected with
that
poem. That's
what we'll be listening a little bit. That's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I want to enter your insides, have a look around, breathe my fill of you. Go away, says the stone. I'm shut tight. Even if you break me to pieces, we'll all still be closed. You can grind us to sand. We still won't let you in. I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I've come out of pure curiosity. Only life can quench it. I mean to stroll through your palace, then go calling on a leaf, a drop of water. I don't have much time. My mortality should touch you. I'm made of stone, says the stone, and must therefore keep a straight face. Go away. I don't have the muscles to laugh. I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I hear you have great empty halls inside you, unseen, their beauty in vain, soundless, not echoing anyone's steps. Admit it, you don't know them well yourself. Great and empty. True enough, says the stone. But there isn't any room.
Oh, it's so hard to stop, you know, this type of poetry. And it's just almost art that seems like doesn't exist anymore. But in a way, a lot of people appreciate this type of art. I have one more MP3 short version from the same, from Hammer Museum. And could you tell us a little bit about the bridge? Can you explain?
Oh, yes. Well, this is very interesting. They were artists in residence at the Hammer Museum, and they selected my interpretation of Wisława Szymborska's poetry, and they decided to remix it and do their own interpretation. So this is just a sample of my performance of the tortures.
Oh gosh, that's scary. People, please listen.
Tortures. Nothing has changed. The body is a reservoir of pain. It has to eat and breathe the air and sleep. It has thin skin, and the blood is just beneath it. It has a good supply of teeth and fingernails. Its bones can be broken. Its joints can be stretched. In tortures, all of this is considered. Nothing has changed.
the body still trembles as it trembled before Rome was founded and after, in the 20th century before and after Christ. Tortures are just what they were. Only the earth has shrunk, and whatever goes on sounds as if it's just a room away. Nothing has changed. Except there are more people and new offenses.
Beata Pozniak, we'll come back to you in a few minutes. That's pretty scary. What a voice, what a depth and petrifying stuff. We have right now a phone call from New York that we need to answer. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is this our another guest that we cannot wait to talk to, and also very fabulous Polish woman, young lady. And could you tell us your name?
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna Lacomi.
How you spell your name?
It's Anna, A-N-N-A, last name Lacomi, L-A-K-O-M-Y.
And you know, this day, like I mentioned, Accent On is pretty excited to have three strong Polish ladies who are doing pretty well in America, and we'll be coming back to talking a little bit with Beata Pozniak, who obviously, I think she really, really makes her dream come true in America, and we're admiring everything what she's doing. Amazing lady. I'm hoping we all will become real, real good friends, because you also are in the same business. You are an actor, you are a director, you are a young actor, aspiring actor, doing pretty okay for yourself, and you're one of your first role with Gérald Depardieu.
Yes, that was over a year ago at this point, but I still remember it like it was yesterday.
What an amazing day this was for you, probably, when somebody called you. Like, Beata had many beautiful phone calls. It's like she's supposed to make phone calls of the gold and just put and wait until it rings again, because good stuff is happening in her life because of many wonderful phone calls that she's not expecting. When it comes to you, getting your role, how does this happen?
So I remember I got the phone call to come in. It was actually very strange because I got a phone call to come in on like a Sunday or something. And I think I rejected it. I said, no, thank you. I'm not coming in for an audition on Sundays. I want to, honor my rest and spend time with family on Sunday, so I won't be doing anything on Sunday. However, a few days later, I think it was a Tuesday, I got another phone call if I can come in tomorrow, the next day, and dress a certain way, and this is the kind of project it is, and it's Gérald Depardieu is in it, and Abel Ferrer is directing it. So, of course, the next day I came very prepared, and I went straight to meeting Abel Ferrer himself.
Oh, wow. Again, phone call and almost didn't happen. I know you'll be my guest, main guest also. I'm hoping you'll be here in LA. I can meet you in person because we know each other.
Absolutely.
We
are writing. I'll be there in May.
Oh, no, yeah, then you'll be back, and maybe Beata will be here too. Then we all can meet, and you never know what will happen. But fact is that you are working and you are searching for new roles. You are trying to establish yourself in many different ways in America, and you have some really cool project going on right now. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely. So right now, I've actually, in addition to acting, I've also been producing things lately, so kind of taking charge of my own project. So even 2 years ago, when I first started, I produced, wrote, and directed my first short film. So I'm kind of getting back to that. So right now I partnered up with a brilliant writer and we're working on a short film called Feeders and Eaters. And I'm starring in that one and I'm also helping produce it. So that's really exciting to be able to cast people, get set up a budget. I worked with him to find a director. And so that's been really amazing. We can't wait to shoot that probably sometime in March. And then I also wrote a feature-length film that I've been working on for a really long time now, and I just partnered up with a great producer. His name is Rob Margolis. And so right now we're looking for the funding to make that movie happen.
Wow. You know, you're a pretty hardworking woman, young woman, and I have all the information on my Facebook page, and our show will be next two hours, 3 hours available on iTunes and on LA Talk Radio and on Stitcher. Everybody can go and download or listen live anytime by pushing or scrolling down, just pushing button, listen live or download. Then all the links will be listed again for all of us. I will say again, I'm just very proud of you. I'm just very, very proud of you because, you know, I was hoping and I still hope that you'll be playing a role in a movie of one of my friends that was also my guest. Happened he has Polish roots, but really he's an American. And we'll see what's happened. We all just need to meet in person or just do waiting for this special phone call and we'll bring us together. Another great message. Okay, for today, I cannot say more except thank you, Anne, that you called to us. And I admire your perfect English because really, even when you were born in Poland, most of your life you really spent in USA. Then I wish you the best and cannot wait when you come back here. And everybody who wants to know more about your life, please go to Facebook, Accent on Book, and we can check everything also about Beata Pozniak and Anne Lacombe. Thank you so much. Good night.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Good night. Say hi to Ilona Lee. She will be here soon too. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Bye. Okay, I think it's time for my guest surprise. This is a big surprise that you made it, and I really appreciate that you are here. Frank, you are a French gentleman. You said something when I asked you before we went to the studio, why did you move to America? And you said, can you tell us closer to microphone why?
Well, I said I think I was born in the wrong country.
He was born in the wrong country. Is this possible that through most of your life you felt like you belong somewhere else? That's how you felt?
That's how I felt, yeah.
Very unusual. Although, you know, I had few guests who said that they could breathe. And Beata, in a way, you say the same in many interviews, that you just found your voice here and... When it comes to Frank, you came from family of unusual business that everybody loves in America. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the fourth generation in the food business. So I was in the food industry, born and raised in the food industry.
And then you came to LA how many years ago?
14 years ago,
and you decided, no, that's not what you want to do. What would you like to do here, you decided?
I did it here. I worked in this business here, and I just realized that it was not for me.
And hypnotherapy, that's what you decided, that's your voice, that you want to really get deeper into this type of business. Very unusual business, very, you know, find security in this business and become one of known people here that people really want to talk to. That's probably very, very tough. It's very competitive.
Yeah, it's a big, there's a lot of people doing it. A lot of people use media support to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm against it. I just don't want to do that. I think the hypnotherapy it's a therapy that should be way more advanced than it is now. For some reason, in Europe, it's more advanced than it is here. It's used in, I would say, 90% of the hospitals in France. They use hypnosis. It's a shame that it's not as popular here in the U.S., but it's
more medically treated than
yes.
Here is Lago, let's try this one. I was working for many, many years with Dr. Sadequist in Westlake Village, and I just read a lot of books and met him because also he's a doctor. Then his approach was very similar to yours, and you add the word creative, then I knew that you probably are treating from European perspective how the... you know, hypnotism can really be developed and treated not more seriously because we really like this type of unusual treatment. But still, this is last things on our mind. Oh, I want to quit smoking. I will be going there. I have a problem with anxiety. I will go to you. Then you probably have no easy way to find clients who want to see your way, how you see your business.
Yes, and also because the clients, there's a lot of thing out there. You were talking about quitting smoking. I mean, now they sell you patch, they sell you pills, they sell you, I mean, millions of things.
Yeah. This is a business.
This is a huge business.
Huge business, yeah. But it's not really what you think supposed to be. Where is your website? I would love people to find you.
It's hypnocreative.com.
It's very easy. Hypnocreative. Yes. Please, I would love people to check you out because I will be having you back. And I will want you to give me just direction. If you would like to help people by talking on the radio, and you, from your past, contacts with your patients, I'm sure you can give us some advice how to deal with certain things in life from your perspective. Not everybody can go under or go to you because they are not here. They are maybe in San Francisco or something. If they like you, like the way how you,
going through the website is the easiest way. I'm not gonna do any hypnosis on the radio.
No, you cannot do this. But yeah, it's just a lot of things probably that you can describe how to even calm yourself down. How can you even, just get to understand yourself even when doctor is not next to you. And I'm talking you, doctor, because you are a doctor.
There's several things. I mean, when I started in this field, I learned many ways to, I'm not going to say heal people, but helping people.
Yeah.
I read like tons of books. Medicated talking, I'm not using any medication since probably, I don't know, about 10 or 12 years now. I can medicate myself. The body has the power to medicate itself.
I love that. The self-help, you call this self-help. I love these things because we need to know how to help ourselves first because not always doctor is next to us. And I don't understand when we wake up, sometimes we have mood that changes and you don't know what's going on. I woke up in bad mood. What's going on? And to say my daughter, especially ladies, I don't know guys how they
same,
I'm sure. But you have anxieties. You have some unusual feeling like, oh, everything will be all right. Oh, you wake up in the morning like, gosh, nothing is going my way. Oh, nothing good happened. I don't know. And they're whining, complaining, which we are living the best country in the world. And somehow youth, I'm dealing with a lot of young, wonderful, talented people, coaching them, singing and doing, musicals and stuff like that. I see the talents, but I see also hyper beautiful, exciting excitement, and then when they leave me and parents come, and they're like, two parents, like not mean almost, like different two personalities, like they're not happy with reality and happy with creating music or being somebody else. It's just very complicated. Like you say, our inner selves is very complicated.
Well, it is, but the complaining part, isn't it a European thing?
I don't think so, because I'm talking about a lot of people and are not Europeans. I think we complain too much, everybody. What do you think, Beata? Are you a complainer?
I don't know. I mean, yes and no. I mean, sometimes when I need to express certain things, I do. But usually I think I'm pretty
optimistic
and positive.
You are never thinking, oh, this doesn't go my way, I don't like that, and then stops you from doing tomorrow or next morning or next day or hour, something really more energetic to get to the place that you wanted to be. Because I found myself out that, I don't call this depression, I don't think so, I'm depressed, but the mood swings or whatever is this, the darkness or I don't know.
I think, yes, of course, I mean, I think it's all a choice, actors, we can train the brain.
Yeah, you're playing the role.
And you can recognize it. Okay, this is what's happening with me. 1, 2, 3, snap out of it.
Oh,
is
that's
that hypnosis?
Oh,
this
snap!
Is it. This is it. I'm always, I'm really amazed because living in L.A., obviously you're going to meet some people who work in the movie industry, and I'm still amazed that there's no actors in this city who use hypnosis for movies. They don't. They just don't. And it would be so so easier for them.
Hmm.
Like when I see some actors get into some preparation for a movie, they stay like months before the movie in sort of a bubble.
Yeah.
And they are... The character they're going to play in that movie, they are this character 24/7 for the rest of the shooting.
Yes, so right. And then he's gone.
Well, it depends. There's different methods to this madness. What you're describing is method acting, but not everybody takes on that path. But what is your... Like, how would you see an actor going through hypnosis? How could that help him or her in search for their character?
Well, first of all, with hypnosis, we can... I know some actors have problem with lines and remembering. First of all, that's the first thing. With hypnosis, you can, like, just tap into that right away. So no more problem, no more forgiveness about this or that.
Hmm.
The second thing is, with hypnosis, we can definitely put like what we call a trigger. That means every time you step on the set, you're switching for the character that you're going to play. Every time you step out of the set, this character is gone. With nothing else than this.
Because must be overwhelmed, because probably you... are in a role 24 hours a day, because in your head you are thinking about next day what the shoot will be like, and it's probably when it's dramatic role and or aggressive or violent or something, if you live under the stress and you cannot relax maybe after a day of shooting, maybe that will be trouble for me. I know when I'm on a tour with band, it's just all so cool, everybody's beautiful, we all go for great dinners, and then you go back home, okay, let's clean dishes. Different wake up, you know, it's just different wake up, and I'm not even joking, or not being pretty how I see myself when I'm on a stage. It's just two different worlds, and it's like, or you are perceiving yourself reality and that's your profession, or you start thinking, who am I? Am I the one who is on a stage, or I'm the one who just plays stage, but really I'm the one who is real? I really is two people, you know, two people in one. It's tough.
I think everybody is built in a different way. What will help one person might not help the other. You know,
we have Frank.
No, well, I think we're all on a journey, you know, searching for ourselves and trying to understand how we are built, what moves us and what doesn't. And
the self-help. Yeah. We sometimes need, you know, understand ourselves more, and not everybody has time to read and just discover these things. Sometimes one good conversation, you know, just can open up certain things. Beatko, Beata Pozniak, I know our time is running up. Boy, is nothing worse for
Beatka,
me.
Beatka, I see people going to think, Ilona, maybe you should explain.
Oh, Beatka. Okay, Franek, in Polish will be Franek. We have these beautiful ways of making our names sound sweetly, or more sweet than Ilona. Ilonka, Iloneczka, Ilonunia, Ilonia, Beatka, Beateczko, Beatuniu, Beatusiu, and really you are Beata.
That's right.
Your beautiful name. Beata, if we would like to find you, where can we find you? And I want you to say something, because I know you have a short film right now in a festival, so I don't want to leave people not knowing that. But tell us how we can find you.
Well, I have a website, beata.com, BEATA.com. Think about beatitude, Beata, 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 beata.com.
Beatitude.
Beatitude. It's easy to remember.
Look at you.
And my last name is Pozniak. I mean, we have a big name in United States, Wozniak, Steve Wozniak. Everybody knows Wozniak. Yeah. So just change it for P.
Beautiful.
Wozniak, Pozniak.
Look
it's
at
easy
how
to
smart
remember.
The girl she
so,
is.
But otherwise, my website is Beata.com. It's very easy. And of course, one can find me on Facebook. But my film, it's called People on the Bridge, and it's inspired by Wisława Szymborska, our Nobel Prize winner author, poet. She very much inspired me, Wisława Szymborska, because not only she was, you know, shy, modest, witty, she always used humor in unexpected ways. And this film, this poem, People on the Bridge, plays with the symbolism of time, and the bridge she uses as a powerful connection between places, historical periods, and cultures. So my film was now shown in Los Angeles, in Seattle, in Chicago, and it's going to be now in April, May, in the Polish Film Festival in New York. So Wisława Szymborska, who as a woman at age 73 won a Nobel Prize in literature, and I'm very excited that I can promote someone that was born also in Poland. So we as immigrants can also contribute something positive from our own background, history, and culture. So I'm very excited about that.
Thank you so much, Beata. You promise you'll be back, yes?
I would love to. Thank you so
much. I cannot wait. Frank, what about next week? Please, let's talk, because I have so many questions. We will want self-help from you to teach us how to. Oh, boy, radio is over. And I want to play a little bit of maybe uplifting song, Ilona Europa, Eternal Kiss, Club Junkies UK on the radio right now. And I will cut short, of course, because we don't have time. But let's have fun.
Listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.